This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia are set to kick off the second season of their series of public lectures, which touches on topics related to architecture, cities, art and culture, curatorship, preservation and urbanism. The headliner for this first lecture is Italian architect and educator Luca Gallofaro, and he joins me now to share his thoughts on architecture and design and for a preview of his talk later this evening. Welcome to the show, Luca.
Thank you for the invitation.
You were one of the founding members of the internationally renowned Italian firm EN Plus, and I read that the firm also had several projects in Italy, including an urban intervention for the city of Rome in Falconiano. Could you tell me more about this?
Yes, this is a project that we did several years ago. So we opened the office because we won this competition for a public piazza in Roma, in a very suburban area of the city. We spent more than 10 years to complete it. This is give the time of the project in Italy. Everything is so slow. This is a very interesting project from my point of view because instead of a piazza, we preserve a park and we create a series of small pavilions that could be used for the community that live in the site, because this site is an illegal city that works without facility, without public facility. So the project gave to the city a series of facilities that they can use in the leisure time and the free time.
The idea of the piazza or the plaza is quite a common one in European culture and town planning, less so here. So when you were working on, you know, when you gained this project and it was supposed to be a piazza, you know, how did you work with the expectations of what that should be as well as the facilities that you wanted to put in?
I think that is not a problem of the piazza itself as we conceive it in Europe. For example, here it's not possible to leave the piazza because for the climate reason it's very hot and humid, so the people prefer to spend time in another kind of place. But when I talk about this idea of public space, could be also the entrance of a building, you know, and the important things that you can have and create that space that they are not related for the shopping, for example, as you have in the shopping mall, is a piazza, no? Now, but I think that you can create and offer to the city a kind of common value to the project that you produce. Also, if you work for a developer, I think that as an architect, it's really very important to give back to the city a space of quality.
When it comes to the topic of Rome, would you say it's been experiencing, you know, cultural rebirth at the moment?
Yes, I believe that this is a good moment because this is why, for example, I run a gallery. I just opened with a series of friends an architectural gallery for independent low-cost project because we really want to produce culture, not just building. I believe that an architect is not just someone that produce building, but also I think that is really very important that you produce link between subject and people, and I think that this is a good moment in Roma for that.
How are external or global influences impacting local culture and, you know, subsequently the design principles of Italian designers, people working in the space in Italy?
Yeah, this is a... I need at least 2 days to answer to this question, but I try to be very short. I think that the problem today for the Italian culture is to follow different kind of paradigms that they come from the European and international culture. And I think that today is a problem of form and shape of the building instead of preserving the value of the tradition, transforming this tradition, transforming the reality in something completely new and different, no? But maintaining, not really from the language point of view, not when I talk about language, I talk about the formal solution, but I think that we need to preserve this idea of common that we have in the Italian architecture.
When it comes to your own work, what external influences do you feel have impacted you? You know, what in your travels or when you're just looking around, seeing what's out there, what has been most inspiring or intriguing for you at the moment?
This is a nice question after I wake up very early this morning walking around the whole city. because I really try to find out small corner of my city in other city. So this is what an architect do usually. So I wake up very early in the morning. I just try to walk around the city to understand the feeling and the characteristic of the city. And I think that when I'm back, every time that I'm back from a trip or something like that, I bring with me something new that I can insert in my architectural project.
In your particular practice in Rome, when did you first start gaining interest? Have you always been interested in the idea of public space in terms of how people occupy and use public space?
Yes. This is one of the main interests that I have. Of course, also if I work for a developer that he has for a private building with a private program, I try to, first of all, convince him to produce something more for the city, because I believe that if you use the space, if you like the space, you can also give more quality to the private program that you have inside.
For yourself then, how do you go about creating these new relationships between people and architecture and public space? How do you want to see people occupying that space?
I think that is important, the feedback that the people give to you. No? The feedback is how they use the space, if they reinvent your space. Sometimes it's exactly what's happened with a private house. No? I did a lot of interior design, but I never get photo of that. Because doing a house means doing a project not for yourself, that you can recognize yourself, but trying to translate the needs of the people that will occupy the house itself. So I think that when I'm back in after 2 weeks that a client get inside, I'm really very happy when I can't recognize my project, because they just, you know, appropriate the space itself. And so if you can do this in the building, you know, in the private and public building, I think that is the most beautiful result that you can have. We just finished an hospital in a building, the entrance for an hospital in Rome, in Napoli. And one of the best comments was by my daughter. She told me, "Papa, this building don't looks like an hospital." So in that sense, looks like an hotel or something that is nice to live in. So this is, I think that is a good comment, because sometimes we think to respect the program and we lose the quality of the space itself.
Especially for a space like a hospital, which is not normally thought of very positively. It's nice to have that kind of comment. On the other hand, you have, when one thinks of Rome, you know, you think of a very specific look, you think of a very specific style, which is, I think, the case with many older cities. Have the people of Rome been accepting of modern-looking buildings? You know, how are they dealing with globalization?
This is another good question. I believe that Roma doesn't exist anymore. No, what we recognize is the idea that we have in Roma, no? The whole city. There are no inhabitants anymore in this city, because there are a lot of tourists, a lot of people that come from the suburban area and live in the city for a specific time during the day, but not all day long. So that means that you lose the quality of the space, and at the same time you have the image of a city that you can have everywhere. Of course, you need to change the building, or you can preserve some of the building that you have there. I believe that now there are a lot of people that they can understand through the contemporary architecture. They can understand that it's very important to use contemporary architecture to preserve the traditional part of the city.
That preservation is also a very important point here in Malaysia, because we've lost a lot of our iconic heritage buildings and areas, mostly in the name of development, mostly in the name of trying to, you know, put more people into a certain space. Has this been the case in Rome? Would it be accepted if it were?
No, fortunately, we preserve some of the space because they are historical monuments, so you cannot really transform. But I think that we lose a lot of old building without value. Apparently, they are without value, historical value, but from my point of view, they represent the history of the city. So I believe that there is a way of dealing with this subject, no? So trying to preserve and just plug new building on the top of other buildings. So we did a competition like that for the new Museum of the Science. Is a competition that we just lose. We get the second prize, unfortunately, for that reason, because usually when they expect from us a completely new, brand new project in the area, but we really love the area, and we believe that this area, also if it's not an ancient building, but it's old, but not so old, I think that represents the memory of the people that live in that part of the city. So this is why we try with our project to preserve the building and building the new program on the top of the existing building. So maintaining this, what we call the city over the city. So I think that it's really very important to open a dialogue between the city that was and the city of tomorrow.
I'm speaking today with Luca Gallofaro, architect and educator. He's here actually as part of PAM's public lecture series. Up next, we find out a little bit more about Luca's thoughts on heritage building conservation, as well as other projects that you've been involved in. You're listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and in the studio with me today, Luca Gallofaro, architect and educator. He's here as part of Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia's lecture series, and he will be, I think you're talking about, you know, the things that we're talking about today, really, in the interview. And we've been covering how Rome has been coping with heritage, with trying to experience newness at the same time. And I've read that heritage building conservation today is actually less about preserving precious places such as museums, and more about preserving the sense of character and history and community of where people live and work and recreate. Would you agree?
Yes, I believe that is important to preserve not just the physical space of the city, but just to preserve the way of living of the city, of the people that stay in the city. No? So in that sense, I believe that it's really very important to use as one of the important part of the project. This is why, from my point of view, this is what Roma gave to me, no? Because working in Roma, from one point of view, helped you a lot to deal with this fact of the preservation. In that sense, preserving building means also to preserve the life of the city itself and how the people use the city.
We've been talking quite a lot about space and how people use it. You also have a master's in spatial science. What is spatial architecture?
In that sense, that was at the beginning of my career, because I studied in Roma. So the main subject, they were preservation, talking about the renovation of buildings. So my idea was just I want to work in an outer space, so in a place where I need to rethink the idea of architecture from the beginning, no? So thinking about form, which form you can use in space. Space means space station, lunar bases, this kind of, you know, out of context architecture, but at the same time to preserve the idea of how you can live in a very physical, difficult situation. So that one was my study in the United States for my master. But I also, if I change completely my idea, and not really the ideas, but I change the way of working, I preserve this distance from the earth when I do a project. No?
Do you believe that it's important for architects to have that moment of rethinking architecture or rethinking space? I mean, of the architects that we've had on the show, there's a fair number of you who seem to say, yes, you know, once in a while you need to kind of take a step back from the practice and actually rethink how you think about space or how you think about buildings. Was that an important part of your practice?
Yes. In my free time, I used to make collage, for example, and this is something that it's outside of my work, but it's a tool that I use to think about the project. So sometimes I just cut piece of paper of existing building, I recut copy of that, and I produce new building using an existing one. So that means it's a cut and paste operation, but it's a cut and paste operation that gives to me the possibility to be concentrated on this idea of rethinking what does it exist, you know, and this is really very important for me.
You're now co-partner of a new practice called LGSMA. What is different about this compared to EN Plus?
Okay, EN Plus was 20 years of my life. So we really work and we're still are very good friend with my ex-partner. But at this moment of our career, I believe that it's really very important to rethink also an operational way of working. So from my point of view, I want to be more open to collaboration with other people, with other architects. I open a architectural gallery because I believe that it's not just important doing projects, but it's important realize projects, spend time, almost my time in the construction side, but I really want to produce links between culture and people. And an architectural gallery, the name is Campo. It's field. Campo is field in English. Means that we want to create a field of operation between different architects and people. So I believe that we will continue to work as we work until today, but add new quality in this idea of cultural system and cultural network of people.
During your career, have you ever experienced a completely radical shift in the direction of your design philosophy? I mean, is having an architectural gallery a part of that?
Yes, but it's not. I don't like anymore the word radical, no? Because the radical period was a very interesting period of the Italian architectural tradition in the 70s, between 60 and 70. And there are important group that give to my generation a lot of energy when we refer to them. But I believe that today, be radical means not to be radical anymore. No, in that sense, also if some of the project that we did and I'm still doing, they can look like a radical project because really we shift out of this idea of sustainability, with this idea of paradigms to use in the project. But we really be concentrated to this idea of the real. No? And then from my point of view, I think that we had a very, in my career, the big shift was produced by a project that we did with a group of friends, and was a non-profit project. Was a school in Afghanistan, was a project that we did exactly for the reason to have collaboration with friends, other friends, architects, and we share this project, we discuss about that, and it was the first time that we work without a fee. And I believe that one was a very important thing. The project is really very nice, interesting, good as a object, but at the same time also as a imagination that this project produced on the side. That was a female school in Afghanistan. We work in memory of Maria Grazia Cutuli, is the name of the school. Maria Grazia Cutuli, she was the first journalist that she was killed in Afghanistan more than 12 years ago. And this is why with the brother of Maria Grazia, we developed this project and we get several prizes. We get the Aga Khan, we arrive finalists at the Aga Khan Award. And, you know, it was the first time that we worked not for a competition, not for a real commission, but was not a paid project. Now, in that sense, give to my idea of architecture a big shift. So open my mind to the collaboration with other people, open my mind to the idea of rethinking the real, but with a project that produce a feedback in the territory.
Earlier you talked about, liking when people kind of shape their personal lives into the spaces that you create in such a way that you no longer recognize the project. How do you think designers and architects mediate the tension between, you know, the personal experience of the space, but also, you know, shaping a universal message through the work? Because you hear often of people coming up with, you know, groundbreaking buildings, buildings that change the way people view certain elements of architecture or the way people view museums and what they're meant to be, for example. How do you mediate between the desire to kind of have this whole new thing, you know, and the personal?
Yes, this is, you know, you mention a lot the word museum, no? And the museum, because sometimes the city today, to produce something new, to give a new message, they produce an icons.
Yes.
And the icons means that you not recognize the quality of the project, but you recognize the formal quality of the project itself. So the project, it's not anymore architectural from my point of view, and became a symbol. So as a symbol could be good, but as a museum, it's not. And just come from Seoul, where I spent a weekend, and I believe that the new Zahedid Museum is a huge project from the formal point of view, from the architectural point of view, is an interesting project, but it's not a museum anymore. And, you know, big corridor, completely empty, small exhibition, I don't know, the 10% of the building works as a museum. The 90% of the space, it's used for commercial use. So why we call it museum? So from an architectural point of view, it's really very beautiful. It's an icon and produce a feedback to the city. But from the space point of view, from my point of view, get off something to the city, you know.
Yes.
What I mean.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I think that whole that point about icons is an important one, because cities do get obsessed with having sort of those iconic sequences. Do you feel that in some parts, perhaps because Rome is iconic in and of itself, that there is more or less pressure in the modern space to create a modern icon?
Oh, yes, could be. Could be one of the reasons why, because every time it's a kind of match you have with someone that was an historical architect, yeah. better than me. And so in that sense, I think that we don't need to compete with this kind of icons, but we need to work on another level of communication. So I used to mention this word, you know, producing space and not producing a form that we can consume. No, I think that this is really very important.
Are Italian architects concerned about environmental and social sustainability in their buildings? I mean, that's something that's coming to the fore.
Of course, yeah. But of course that is important, not just for the Italian architect, but I don't like when you need to use this idea, this word, green architecture, sustainability, to give value to the project. I believe that this is something that you need to insert and put inside your project, but I am not agree with this idea of producing sustainable architecture just because it's good. No, this is again, no, the architectural market, it's something that we use as a standard market to sell a product. So I think that we don't need to use this word to sell our product. No, we don't. I used to mention this idea of painting something green. That means that you give value to the project, that it is not.
How would you define the responsibility of an architect? I feel like we've been talking about, you know, design philosophies on how architects can communicate with cities, how those spaces communicate with people. But for yourself, you know, overall, how would you define what the responsibility of an architect is?
Not easy. So I think the responsibility is doing good project, at least. And doing good project means to preserve, not to sell your soul to the client, but to work with the client. And working with the client means to answer to the question, to respect the parameter, the cost parameter they give to you, but at the same time to preserve your main idea of architecture, that it's deal with something more important than the client itself. But I think that it's really very important to give value to the space that you produce. And this value is how you can use the space.
Finally, could you briefly share what you'll be discussing at this evening's lecture?
I will present different projects. The project, I think that I don't want to call them project. I want to present different stories. Tonight I want to be not an architect, but I want to be a writer that describe story of his life, that for a chance they talk about architecture, because each project, it's a kind of tales, no? It's a novel about a part of the city, a part of the people that live in this part of the city. So I think that will be nice to be there.
Catch Luca this evening at the PAM Public Lectures Program at the Black Box in MAP Publica. That's located in Solaris Dutamas. Registration starts at 7 p.m. The lecture should start at 7:45. Admission is free, but it is on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information, you can visit pam.org.my. Luca, thank you very much for speaking with
me. Thanks for the hospitality.
I've been speaking with Luca Gallofaro, architect and educator, about his work and his thoughts on architecture and design. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.